You're listening to 315 Live, a division of Venture Technica LLC.
Does she sing? Does she dance? Does she rap and act? Does she preach? Does she teach? I do all of that. Yep, I do all of that. What? I do all of that. Fight for justice. I do all of that. What? This is The Unabbreviated Truth with me, Lakia Cahill.
This show is brought to you by Venture Technica. From custom app development to business phone systems, long-range Wi-Fi, fast tech support and online content services. At Venture Technica, your venture plus our technology equals success. Visit VentureTechnica.com for more information.
Hello, good morning, and thank you for tuning in to The Unabbreviated Truth with Lakia Cahill. That's me. And today I have a very special guest. I have Miss Monique Wright Williams here with me today for my first guest, my very first guest. And I'm so excited to have her. We've been able to kind of bond and get to know one another my time here in Syracuse. And she's been doing some great things as the executive director of Parent University. But I found that that's not the only thing to my good friend here. As far as the professional world and in the personal life, she's just amazing to so many people. Monique, thank you for coming. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm good. Welcome, welcome.
I'm so glad you're here with me. I feel very comfortable. I'm glad it's you. That's my first person to be here, even though I'm still a little nervous, but I'm really happy that it's you. So you're the executive director of Parent University. Can you tell the people that are listening a little bit about what Parent University is and its purpose?
I'd be glad to. Parent University is the district's way of engaging parents around their children's academic activities and something specifically for parents. So we offer everything from soup to nuts, quite frankly, in an attempt to engage and create a healthy, happy, and whole parent so that they can raise healthy, happy, whole children.
That's wonderful. How long has the program been in submission?
This is my third year. So we're on our third year and our sixth conference, and we're moving right along quite nicely.
Speaking of conferences, so you guys offer a lot of conferences here for the district and for other parents as well. Are they welcome to come?
Absolutely. It's not just parents. I mean, it's called Parent University, but for us, a parent is anyone who has a significant role in any of our children's lives.
Absolutely.
So parenting is not limited to just mother and father
right,
by birth. So grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, siblings, they're all welcome to attend.
Right. And usually, what do you see most when you during your turnout or for your events? Do you see a lot of like grandparents, like guardianships for our children here, or?
It's a good blend. There are an awful lot of parents who attend who, you know, themselves have children in the district. But we do some special programming for grandparents.
Okay.
So we can, you know, entice grandparents to come during that time. But really, it's just about anybody. Community members as well are also welcome to attend.
That's awesome. I've actually been to a few of them, and they are filled with a lot of people, a lot of activities. What are some of the topics that you cover there at your conferences?
We've covered, I'll talk about the one that's coming up now. We're going to discuss the new code of conduct that the district has enacted. We'll have Say Yes, talking about their Say Yes scholarship program for families. We're actually going to have yoga. We're going to have a yoga class for stress reduction, because parenting isn't just about helping your kids with homework.
Right.
You know, you need a way to get yourself grounded
so that
you can be a better parent. So we'll include that. We have a workshop for single parents. We have a workshop for parents raising young Black males.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so there are a wide variety of topics that we offer.
That's so fruitful. It's just amazing to me. I think that a lot of people outside of the community that don't really engage in to the district and what it has to offer for our students, you know, you see a lot of negativity out in the media. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to create this platform to highlight a lot of the good things that the Syracuse City School District offers to its parents and its student body and even its staff on top of that. I think it's really, really important because I know during my time here, I've really seen a lot of coming together and shifting change. Speaking of the code of conduct, you know, that was a great opportunity to kind of like shift the suspensions issue that, you know, we have here in this district between Black and Latino students versus white students. So I think that we need a platform to talk about education. Education is one of my favorite subjects and my topics, obviously, and the things I love to organize around. And that's what we want to use this for, to keep it really positive. The show is about keeping things positive, looking at things from a perspective lens and positivity, but not negating from the issues, right? The negative things, but talking about the solutions that are available, right, for us to change that. Because change is here. It just needs a lot of support. Do you agree with that?
Oh, completely. I know I always would tell people, you know, there are negatives, but if you think about the construction of a building, you can't build a building with the bricks you don't have.
That's right.
So let's look at the bricks we do have and figure out what size building can we build.
Right.
And where else do we need to pull more bricks in from? So it's really important. I'm excited that you're focusing on the positive.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, if it bleeds, it leads in our media world. So this is a great shift from that.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, you know. Upstate New York, Syracuse, and CNY, and Western New York. I'm still learning all the terminologies we have up here. But I feel like, you know, we got to make some noise. And I'm so glad I have my sidekick here who has his own show, Matt Masseur.
Hello.
Say hello, Matt. That's right. He has Matt's Modern World. He kind of focuses on that and so much more on his show. But he really wanted to build this platform for that. And my job is to really, one of my callings, I believe, is to connect people, you know, and connect them also to like outlets. And I just love introducing great people to great people, you know. So Matt, I know we met outside of the door, but this is Monique, one of the most amazing people in Syracuse. Matt, why don't you tell Monique why you started 315 Live, Joint Event Live?
Yeah, so, you know, we started just looking at the trends, the way things going, you know, and everything is moving to the web, and we've been in the web world for a long time. So we started digging into this online media space, and we realized that nobody is doing it on a local scale. Everybody's trying to do some big thing and reach the world, which is awesome. But you know, as people are cutting the cord and getting rid of cable and getting rid of traditional television, where is that local connection? And on the correlation to that is, as we've been talking to people, we're finding absolutely amazing things going on right here that I never would have imagined, and most people have never even heard of. We get a ton of negativity, but there are really phenomenal things, from entertainment to business to charities and sports and all kinds of things that literally no one knows about. So what we've tried to do is create a platform here to where we can spread the message about that, build a online media presence, but it's really focused on, you know, not a news outlet that's only purpose is covering shootings and you know, elections, but rather the things that are really happening here for the people that live here. So we've created this platform, and like Lakia said, 315 Live is kind of the new site, the new place where this is all going to take place in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to have live and pre-recorded, but very local-focused content to reach people and spread the message and not be so down on our area so much. So that's what we're
awesome.
Here for.
And when I think about that, I think about the word process as you were speaking and then listening to you using the analogy of the brick by brick. And you said you've been with the program for, were you at the beginning process of this program?
Yeah,
three years ago?
I'm the creator. Yeah.
You created, high five on
there
that
you go.
One. Woo, I love that. What was that process like when you first started 3 years ago into where it is today?
Wow. What I did, I mean, I always believe in working smarter, not harder. So what I did was I looked at the existing forums across the nation in districts that are urban, like what other parent university kinds of programming there was. Mm-hmm. I looked at Boston heavily, Charlotte, Mecklenburg heavily, and Philadelphia, because they seem to match more closely with the Syracuse area. And I looked at what they had. I went into Harvard Family Research and talked to them and found out what was working in terms of engaging parents and what kind of programming needs to be in place. And I just created a blend. Our parent university is a blend of those three examples that I looked at. So right. I took the pieces from there that I think could work better here and incorporated them into what is now Parent University.
And that's great. I heard you use the word research. And for all our listeners out there who are looking to, you know, start endeavors of positive change, you know, I would say that it sounds like that was the main key. You really need to do that. But I like the fact that you didn't stay within your area, you know, you looked outside to see what other people were doing to start that. And I think personally that that's the way that we should, when we're talking about building and for change and becoming better, et cetera, you know, we shouldn't just look in our environment, our only environment, which now I understand why you love to take our children
away.
Away. Monique takes our children away outside of the district and the area, so that more so for a college tour.
Exactly.
Right? It's a historical Black college tour
Become that. It didn't start out as that, but that's what it's become.
How did it start?
It started, I had a group of middle school girls, 5th to 8th grades, that I worked with once a week. And when we got to the education phase, I wanted to introduce them to the possibilities of college, even though they were in middle school. Because when you get to high school, you need to hit the ground running. So I took them touring colleges, and it wasn't just historically Black colleges. We went to Rutgers, we went to University of Maryland College Park, we went to Hunter, we went to a number of schools. And I did that for about 2 years, and then the parents of those girls were saying, hey, I have a older child that, you know, I'd like to see colleges. And then it became, I have sons that want to see them. So I just widened it. And most of the students that I was working with, actually all the students initially, were African-American students.
Okay.
And so some of them, as we got to the high school students, were struggling and having a tough time in high school. And some of the college choices that were before them were not best fits for them. Some of them were really struggling with their SATs and ACTs and needed support. And the historically Black colleges offer more support for our students. They allow them to go into, some of them allow them to come in with an 800 SAT, and they build them from the ground up. And I wanted to make sure our kids had an opportunity to see students who looked like them on a college campus.
Wonderful.
And you were sure to see that if you went to an HBCU.
Absolutely. I don't know if you would see anything else at an HBCU.
There's a variety, but there isn't, you know, the majority.
The majority.
Exactly.
Okay, I totally get it and understand. Mm-hmm. You guys just came back from one,
we
right?
We did. It was awesome. This was the first time I went as far as Atlanta.
Wow.
So that was a really nice change for me, mm-hmm. and I think it was a great opportunity for the kids. They really kind of fell in love with the Spelman Morehouse Clark Atlanta area.
Wonderful. I was going to ask you, did you go to Clark?
Of course. You
okay,
have to.
That's wonderful. Yeah, you got to go to Clark. Yeah. Clark has a lot of history. Sorry. So what I found in doing my research, because that's what we're supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know your endeavors didn't start here. You have a history of doing this thing, you know. I found that you were at Booker T. Washington Community Center out in Auburn.
Yes.
And Miss Heidi Nightingale, when I read the article, she said she knew you could bring Booker T. into the 21st century. That's a powerful statement for someone to see in another person, you know, saying that this is the person to do it. You know, she got the skills, she got what it takes, you know, and I wish I had her here because I want to be like, well, how did you know, you know, she could do it? And it's evident, obviously, because you've been there about how long?
10 years. Mm-hmm.
10 years. How was that change process for you, leaving somewhere where you've been for so long and you've done the same thing with what you're doing right now prior, you know, building and structuring and getting it off the ground and, you know, being affluent, et cetera, and then shifting into another place where you had to do the same thing?
Well, you know, I like things that don't have shape. I'm into amorphism, so I like to give things shape. I like to bring things to life. So the switch going from something that was established, that had been settled, and that could, in essence, someone else could pick up and run with, it was comfortable because I felt like I had built enough of a framework that someone else could lead the agency.
Wonderful.
But ultimately, you know, I really close my eyes and say, okay, God, what do you have for me next? And when he says it's time to go, then it's time to go. And, you know, and I'd been praying for a while about what to do. And then this came about and it seemed like it was written for me when I saw the advertisement for it. And I thought, oh, okay, Lord, this must be what you want me to do next.
Right.
And so I put my hat in the ring.
Put your hat in the ring. I love that. I love that, and hearing the transition, but not leaving something undone. You know, absolutely. Leaving, you know, you left a roadmap for someone to follow. And I found that that's what lacks in a lot of, this is my opinion, my personal opinion, coming from me, Lakia K. Hill, but I found that there are a lot of agencies that are built for, you know, self-improvement, self-development, that people start and they don't finish. And what I mean by that is they, when it's not working out, they give up so quickly, or they just let it fall by the wayside. This is what I've seen a lot happen, especially in urban communities around the country, you know, not just here in Syracuse or down in New York. You know, I'm talking about, I've been in Virginia, Florida, North Carolina, different places like that. And in these communities, it tends to have that same tone of where, you know, if it's not working, people aren't doing their jobs, playing their positions, or someone leaves and things are all over the place. It's so disorganized. I wonder if the people out there listening can agree with what I'm saying, you know, where they come into a place and it's just like a big old mess. You can't find anything, and you're left with the task of pulling it all together again. You know, that's a lot of stress on someone coming in to take over something somebody else already built. But what you've done, and what you're continuing to do, from what I've seen and what I'm hearing, is you're structured. You have a lot of structure in what you're doing. Were you always like that from the time you were a young girl? Did you always think this way, or?
You know, I guess so. I'm not quite sure. I've always been into education. I've always been into helping other people. When I walked into Booker T, it was a mess. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to think I found it in
good
shape.
No, right. Well, I saw that's what she said.
Yes, I walked into a mess. And I really, you know, God has people every place, something for everyone to do to excel in. For me, it's to take that which isn't in good shape and bring it into good shape, and then let someone else run it, and then move on to the next thing that isn't in good shape to bring it into good shape. So that's my calling. That's my purpose on this earth. So, you know, I guess that's what I've done.
Yeah, it's like knowing when to let go. You know, we as people, sometimes we have a hard time, and just in general, of knowing when to let go, or when we know to let go, we still don't do it, and that just makes it worse. Mm-hmm. You know, like what you said, when it's your time, when God says to move, you have
gotta
to move.
Because
if you stay, you're just going to continue to make it even a bigger mess.
Right.
Pretty much. I love that. And the only reason why I asked you that is because I believe that you're a person who walks in their purpose. And, you know, there may be some listeners out there who aren't really sure, you know, about what they want to do, or if they're in the right genre of their walk in maybe their job, you know, or even their personal relationships or anything like that. And the goal is to have people like yourself on the show that are walking in their purpose, but understand that they're still human, they're not perfect, but you're in your purpose. And that's what really life is about. It's about living a purposeful, a purpose-driven life, you know, and we want to encourage that in people here at the Unabbreviated Truth. You know, so I really appreciate you. I want to know where you're from.
I am from the boogie down Bronx.
You're from the Bronx? I knew you was from the Bronx.
From the Bronx. Fresh out of Yankee Stadium.
Oh, that's, wow. You're really
where I'm from.
Down
yeah,
there.
Okay. Yeah.
That's good. So, and you go back often?
Not as much now as I used to, but I do still go back, yes.
Okay.
Have to go back.
You have to go
you
back, right?
To.
It's like getting that little, like, rejuvenation, your mojo. Pumping all over again.
Even sometimes it's to help me better appreciate where I am now.
Right, right. So that's that's what it's about,
you
though.
Know?
Yeah, that's the truth. It definitely is. We talked about the HBCU college tour. Mm-hmm. You know, moving more so into the personal side. You have, your children are amazing. Do you mind me?
No, go right ahead. I love my kids.
I know you do. You should. Your girls are just beautiful girls. And that's another reason why the more I got to know you, and I saw how you were as a parent, not just a mother, but as a parent, and I'm like, oh, I like to tie things together. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how my mind works. I'm like, parent university, she's a parent. Then I'm looking at your children. I'm like, yeah, you are perfect for this. You know, especially you have one more daughter left.
One right? left. So two down, one to go.
Yeah, two down to go. Your other two, did they go to school?
Yes. Yep. Actually, my middle child graduates May 17th.
Oh, great. Awesome.
She's
wonderful.
Done. Yes.
And then your last, is she
she's
going
a junior.
To school?
Yes.
Okay.
She's a junior now. We have one more year.
That's perfect. So you're practicing what you preach to.
Absolutely,
pretty much,
right? Absolutely.
How is that though? You know, you have excellent children who are doing well in school. I know there might be some challenges to that. What words of encouragement can you give to other parents out there who, you know, are struggling to get their kids on the right track to do well in school? And even if they are, what is it that you, what kind of relationship do you have with your girls that helps keep them focused? Because they do a lot of activities.
They
too.
Do.
They're
they do.
A lot of things.
I kept them busy from the moment they could walk. I had them doing something.
Right.
So they learned very early on how to manage and organize their time because they didn't have a lot of playtime.
Right.
You know, it was from school to do your homework to the gym for gymnastics, back to home, finish your homework, eat dinner, go to bed. So I kept them busy to keep them focused and to give them. I think the learning about a team or sports, athletics, really gives you something that the classroom can't give you.
Right, right.
You know, pushing for your best, specifically gymnastics. I have two gymnasts, and, you know, you're always on. Someone's watching you. It's just you. It's not a team sport. You have to do your best. You have to exude confidence. So my younger two learned confidence in a big way by having to salute. And, you know, you have an arena full of people and you're the only one on that floor.
Right.
You learn how to put your best foot forward. So, but most important, I mean, I did that with them, but I think the most important thing you can do is just love your children for who they are individually, because no two kids are alike. You know, I have challenges with all three of my kids, but I let them be who they are. I love them in spite of the things that, you know, are difficult for them or are difficult for me that they might be doing, and let them know that I'm there for them, that they can try stuff, and if they fall, I'm gonna help them back up.
Right.
But I allow them to fail. I think it's really important that you allow your kids to fail.
Wow, that's powerful. You allow them to fail.
Yeah.
That's good. I need to learn that. I get so nervous. I mean, I understand. I hear it. You know, I have a son, and then I have a daughter as well. She's 6, and my son is 15. And with my son, you know, he's in high school. And I get nervous. And I don't let him, and not that I don't let him do a lot, but he's not engaged a lot. But it's always on my mind. I wish there was more that I could put him into things that he can, you know, do.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, we don't live in the city. We live on the, they call it the outskirts. I still feel like it's a part of the city. I don't know who came up with that. I'm still waiting for somebody. Hopefully when I get the mayor here, she could explain to me why it's so separate. Because I feel like I go right down the hill and here I am, you know. But I feel like, you know, there's not a lot of, it's a very sports community. There's a lot of arts too, but it's really heavily focused in sports in our district where he lives. So I bring him to the city a lot, my children to the city a lot to do some things, but I'm just trying to find something for him and I'm having a hard time. Like, you have any advice for me?
Let him find something for him. You can find different things. You can expose him to things, but it won't stick unless it's something he really wants to do.
Right.
You know, I mean, I introduce my kids to a lot of different sports. You know, unfortunately for my pocketbook, they chose gymnastics, but that's what they chose. So I let them do it.
Right.
So just expose him to stuff and let him decide. You know, that's what I think works best. What worked for mine anyway.
Yeah, I think I have more time, thank God, with JL. You know, she's only 6 years old and she wants to do everything. She actually wants to box.
Oh, it's a very healthy thing.
My response was different from yours. She said boxing because I right away, you know, you think, you know, I'm going to hurt my baby's face because I think she'll love it so much that she'll grow into it and would be great at it because she's so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you sure you don't want to do like jujitsu, maybe some sort of martial arts? She was like, nope, I want to box. I want to or wrestle. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and I, you know what? You're right. I need to support that in her because I won't know. She won't know unless
right.
I allow her
she
to try.
She might hate it.
She might not even
she
like
might,
it.
Exactly.
You're right. I'm not, you know, me as a mother, my momhood is a little different. My own mother always says, oh, my God, I just wish you did more outside activities and things like that. I'm heavily focused on the education part, you know, like Jazil's room was a classroom growing up. You know,
nice.
I shopped at the teacher's store and, you know, and I don't speak to my children in baby language.
Yes.
I talk to them like, you know, they're
very
adults
important.
And things of that nature. I think that's really important for us And speaking of that, what words of encouragement, because I plan on, after building this platform, you know, taking these podcasts to our young parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a lot of teen parents and young parents, especially here in this district, but all over, you know, the country and in urban high-need areas like this. And I, what do you think are some things that we could do as community leaders and even in constituents to kind of like brand, you know, great parenting and the mindsets of these our young parents today?
You know, I think the most idealistic thing for me would be to introduce something in a classroom setting while they're in high school before their parents, that will give them some information.
Absolutely.
Because once you're a parent, you don't want anyone to tell you how to be a parent. Even though it's something that is the most important job we have, there's no training for it.
Mm-hmm.
That you would think some parents do. I will say some parents do want to learn, and it will pick up a book, you know, what to expect when you're expecting, what to expect the first year, and so on and so forth. But I think introducing parenting in the high school setting for young people, men and women,
mm-hmm.
so that they have a bird's eye view of what parenting is about, you know, how you're really responsible for another life.
Right.
And the power behind that and the responsibility behind that. I just don't think our kids get that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the teens who are having babies aren't looking to be a parent,
mm-hmm.
you know? They're engaging with their young partner, whoever, whether, you know, male or female, whether we're talking about a girl or a boy who's an early parent. And I think we need to start really early on talking to them about the role and responsibility of parenting before their parents. I don't think we wait till we have teen parents to start talking about
right,
that.
Right, beyond the basic go to health, this is how babies are made.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about that.
Parts of the body.
Yeah, no.
Right, yeah, that's not enough, especially for where we are. Let's be real, okay? Like, to be honest, for me on my end, again, this is my opinion, not an opinion of anybody else in this room. I don't know if you would agree, or maybe you'll say it a little different,
mm-hmm.
but our children, our young parents here, I feel like, you know, they're hands-on learners and they learn visually. I don't think they, you know, I don't believe they read. I don't see them reading books like What to Expect When Expecting.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, you can go in. Because I wasn't thinking about what types of books could I write, you know, all the time. And since my passion is driven in, you know, women and children, our youth, and even in parenthood, of course, obviously, in education. And someone said, oh, you should write a book. You should write a book. And I'm thinking, well, who's going to? Is the people that I'm trying to reach going to
read
the people I'm trying to reach going to read it? Because it's okay if you read it and you tell me this is a great book and I go on tour and meet all these scholars and teachers and parents and administration, but I don't really care about you right now.
Right.
That's not who
not
I'm trying
audience.
To talk to. You're not my audience, but I can see a publisher pushing that because it's about the money most
right.
of the time, you know, and which is a big fault of mine. I'm still trying to figure out how to find that balance in helping and still being able to earn a living. But I trust God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He always makes a way and gives an avenue for me to be okay to continue to do the work that He has called me
to
do. And that's the message to people. You know, you just got to trust God. You have to build that relationship and listen, have a listening ear of when it's time to move or what to do, what direction to take. Trust your intuition, you know,
mm-hmm.
as well. We have those instincts for a reason. We were created with those,
mm-hmm.
you know, and for those who love to talk about the universe and what you put out into the universe and you get back, that is real.
That is very real.
That is so true.
That is
oh,
very
my God.
Real.
Isn't it, though?
Yes, it is.
Matt, you think that's true?
Absolutely.
Look, Matt just sitting over there doing he's our tech guy just hanging out over there. How do you think the conversation is going so far for the first show, Matt?
I think it's going great. I'm enjoying it very much. I'm over here tweeting about it like crazy.
Oh, that's amazing. Isn't she great? She has like great information.
Trying to get you some publicity here. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Thanks, Matt.
Absolutely.
Everybody out there listening, tweet. What are we tweeting?
I'm just throwing the links to the show on.
Oh.
Live, so.
Well, tweet hashtag unabbreviated truth Cahill. Out there for all of you guys that are listening. And when you listen after it's recorded, still tweet it.
Absolutely.
Tweet hashtag 315Live. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I like that.
We're on to something great here. I'm just trying
absolutely.
To tell the people. It's just such an amazing. I fell in love with it right away when I met Matt, the way we met. Oh, my goodness. It had to be by fate.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
There's no accident.
There is no
accident.
There
are no accidents.
Yeah, there is no accidents, definitely. We have to really focus on, my goal is to focus on uplifting our black and brown community, you know, bringing more knowledge and wisdom,
mm-hmm.
you know, we talk a lot about college. We're pressing kids to go to college. I think it's also good to talk about, like, vocational schools and trades and things like that also with them. Absolutely. As well, because we have to think about the confidence level in some of our kids, you know, just giving them baby steps. But if you're telling, I found when I was teaching, actually, and I love to talk to my students, you know, one-on-one, that they, one of my students at the time, you know, she really didn't feel like she was made for college. That just wasn't something that she wanted to do, whether she got good grades or not. And I found myself, because I had been conditioned to push for college with her. But that conversation with her really helped me start to think bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we think college is the all in all, and that is the big picture, but it's not.
That's an absolute requirement, and it's such a load. It's
right.
Horrible.
It's not. It's not the only requirement. I mean, I
put
think
down
we should
these
go.
Trade schools and all these
you
things.
You need it, right.
Yeah, until you need somebody.
Exactly.
Who wants to go to trade school? I need a plumber.
The part they don't sell, which is the worst part of that deal, is you look at some of these things and these folks that have gone to school for 2, 4, 6 years, get all these degrees, they get this job and they go work, and the guy who studied the trade and became the plumber, became the carpenter, he's now his own independent business.
That's
absolutely
right.
And he's making more money than some of these other folks. So
right.
Absolutely.
It's such
uncle.
A shame that they, you know, they put this down like it's a nothing career. It's something
right.
that the world needs, and it's a very respectable paycheck for somebody who's skilled. So.
Well, I think it's from the mindsets of pragmatic capitalists who out there just like it's a monopoly in a sense too, you know, just finding ways to create debt and get more money.
Mm.
You know, but that's another topic for another time. We don't really have to get into that. But actually, I think that is something that we should talk about more. Maybe, Matt, you can
get... I got a good guest for you.
Yeah,
that.
I was going to say good. Because that would be really, really good if they come here, if they go there. I would love to be a part of that conversation because I think it's really important.
I got a PhD candidate student who really wants to share his grad school experience and the...
Oh, wow,
the
wonderful.
Good and bad
and
all kinds of things around it, so...
Okay, that's great. That's perfect. Yeah, so... all right, so you're from the Boogie Down. I want to go back to getting to know you a little more on a personal side.
Mm-hmm.
So you're from the Boogie Down, where hip-hop first started.
That's right.
The home of hip-hop, real hip-hop, true hip-hop.
Jams in the park.
But I want to know what inspires you, what drives you.
You know, my children are why I do everything I do. But before I had children, it was my mother. Before I had children, it was my mother who worked, you know, very hard to make sure that my brother and I, my older brother and I, actually my younger brother too, we all went to Catholic school.
Okay.
So my mother was paying tuition for us to go to school because she thought education was so important. You know, and I couldn't appreciate it at the time, but I also went to a Catholic high school. And so my mother was paying tuition, yet again, for myself and my brother. My younger brother went to a military school, mm-hmm. where she had to pay tuition. So she really showed how she loved her children and education and how she wanted us to be and do better than she was able to be
right.
and do. And I find that today, when I deal with some parents, they're like afraid of their children
mm-hmm.
being more successful
yes.
than they are. And I don't understand
yes.
that, because my mother was like, you are going to college. You are doing this. You are. And then I talked to some parents, especially when I first started my college tour, and they were like, no, she can't go. She's got to stay home and do. I'm like, whoa, this is a college tour. You know, this child wants to go to college. What do you mean she can't
mm-hmm,
go on
mm-hmm,
the tour
mm-hmm.
to be exposed to some stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, over conversations, I could see they were afraid mm-hmm. of their child doing better than them.
They were.
We got to get away from that. There's no other group of people that does that.
Right, right. Well, we need to talk. See, when we have these forums and these meetings and we have these, I'm not saying your conference, because I do a parent leadership conference at yours,
right.
so I know we talk about it there. But I mean for like all the other, like other agencies and entities, when we're talking about having conversations in our community, our urban community, we have to talk, we have to have real talk conversation. You know, it, we have to also look at who it is we're speaking to and speak to them at their level mm-hmm. of where they can understand and they can grasp it. You and also unmasking ourselves of looking so professional all the time, because that's intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what I found in doing my organizing work, I intentionally would dress a certain way before I go and knock on doors. You know, and when I get invited into homes and have conversations with people, I unmask my struggles as well right. with them. It's not just a one-way conversation. It's a one-on-one, and it's a real one. I'm honest with people in the community when we're talking to them. And when they say that, when a parent had said to me that her second grade son at this time, she said that his work is too hard. He shouldn't be learning that.
Yeah.
When I was giving her, I was doing a training,
right.
An organizing training with her. And I said, I'm sorry. And this is when I first moved here, too, so you already know before I
well, you
how I was when I'm just still trying to get to know people, because I've never heard anyone say anything like that before. But it was amazing to me that once she said that, and then we had a conversation. I didn't bash her. I didn't mm-hmm, say, oh, mm-hmm. you're wrong. I said, tell me more about that. Why would you feel like that? And what I found was she herself didn't understand the shifts and the change in the curriculum, right, that was happening with the main subjects that what she would know, which is your ELA, your
right,
math,
right.
your science, et cetera. But this was a math situation, and she was saying that it was too much for him. And I said, well, is he having a tough time? She said, he gets it sometimes, but I can't understand that.
Right. That's what it boils down to.
There you go. That's what she said.
Right.
She said, I can't understand that. And I was like, well, you know, did you talk to the teacher or someone to ask them to help you understand it so you can help him with his homework? You can't be afraid to ask for help. But in thinking that, I'm like, do you guys offer anything for parents as well? Maybe, I mean, I'm not saying telling parents to go back to school or go back to
right.
college, but I think in
right.
this community, in our communities like this, that we should offer some avenues and outlets where we can actually educate parents with to refresh them. Because I know I have a hard time right now with this Common Core curriculum
right.
and the way JL is learning her math, and she's in first grade, and I'm like, what in the
that
world?
That is not what we did.
You know, so isn't, and I need to go back to school myself. Well, I actually want to, you know, I do. I would love to go back to school to get my master's and maybe now even my PhD. I've really been thinking about that. That's mm-hmm. one good thing about living here.
Right.
For the world who's listening. Oh my God, it's just such a resourceful
place.
There's
really.
No reason why you should be struggling if you live in Syracuse, but yet, so many people do.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are living in poverty. There's no living wage. All of these things are a huge part of the reason why we have a lack of parent engagement.
Right.
Within our schools, parents have to work 2-3 jobs. Some of them aren't working at all, and they're stuck in the system,
mm-hmm.
right? They're stuck in the system just that they have to be in order to eat, in order to have a roof over their head. You know, if they go find a job where it makes and they make over a certain amount of money, they'll lose their services.
Right.
It's just all a big mess.
It can be.
You know, and that's a lot of pressure, especially if you're a parent who really cares and mm-hmm. wants your child to do better. But in focusing on those, and there's tons of parents I've found in having conversations, younger parents or older parents, like in their late, not old, but older parents, like in their like 50s or mm-hmm. mid-50s that just graduated high school, didn't move on to anything else,
right.
you know, and kind of just stayed stuck where they are. They tend to be more intimidated by their own children. I'm thinking about while we're talking and my mind is going, like, what do these parents look like? What are their lifestyles?
Yeah, and what was their school
like,
experience
what was their school
like?
Experience
because
as well?
Quite often, you know, we have parents who, you know, I went to that very school and it was horrific for me. My kids are there now. I don't even walk back in that building,
mm-hmm,
you know, because
mm-hmm.
the flashback of what life was like for them and what they couldn't do
right.
or manage in school. So there are a number of barriers, but the good thing is that there are solutions for all of
Thank
them.
You.
So what we
There's
need to start doing
solution.
Is looking at the solutions.
Right. And know? Offering to them and then going back to the roots of grassroots organizing to let them know that and well, make them more aware that these solutions are
exist.
Available to
exactly.
them. Because we got to think about it. We use social media, we use the internet and the website, but how many of them actually go to check on websites? I mean, it is a part of the solution. I always say there's not one answer to anything. There's not one solution. There's different pieces like a puzzle, right, to an answer, okay? And everybody just has to operate in their part and stay in that part mm-hmm. and not try to reach over another place, you know, stay work where you work well
mm-hmm.
And do your part. But we cannot leave out grassroots. Grassroots organizing is not just about social justice work and, you know, around policies and legislation. That's the way communities survive, from my understanding and talking to my mom, you know. It was more of an organized community
mm-hmm.
back in the 60s, the 50s, and the 60s, around that time. No matter what lifestyle you had, you know, if you really think about what organizing is, it didn't have to even be around a social justice issue, or it didn't have to be around education, just in relationship, period.
Right.
You know, and knowing what was going on, it was by word of mouth.
It still is by word of mouth. Yeah, that still, has not changed.
Yeah, it still is by word of mouth, but not enough people are talking about
exactly.
it. Exactly. That's the problem. You know, from my point of view, again, that's what I'm seeing, and I've been talking about, you know, finding ways to maybe going into one school, focusing in the school at a time, you know, and getting parents engaged and training them and talking to them about how to engage, you know, in their child's education, and knocking on doors. You know, I don't know. I'm still working it out in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mind is always going. That's why I'm glad we have the relationship we have. And we talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every now and then. So anything on your mind? Anything's been weighing on your mind, going on? You have anything coming up that we should know about? I know you mentioned the conference. You have a speaker, I think.
We do. Byron V. Garrett is our speaker. Dynamic young man, actually,
okay.
who is, I think he's, I don't want to mess up his title, but he's been working with parent engagement on a national level for a number
wow.
of years. And his first book was called The ABCs of Life. And it really just breaks down using each letter, like the basics and what we need to convey to parents and how we need to be as educators to
right.
other people, how we present ourselves to people so that they don't feel like we know and they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And so he's I'm looking forward to having him be here.
Good.
And I'm hoping
looking forward
we
to
have...
Too.
You know, the audience that he can reach, because he's really a at-home kind of person.
Now,
so.
Where is this going to be?
This is
going
to happen at Dr. King School.
At Dr. King
at
School.
At Dr. King School on Saturday, April 25th.
April 25th, Saturday.
11 o'clock.
At 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll come right after. Oh, so that means you're not going to be able to come to my meeting. I'll tell you after.
Okay.
Okay, so April, you heard it right here, April 25th
mm-hmm.
at Dr. King School at 11 o'clock a.m., we have the Family Conference,
yeah.
the Syracuse City School District Parent University Family Conference, and everyone should be there. Be there or be square is very important for you to be there. I'm hoping that everyone got something out of this podcast today. While you're listening, if anything, you were just inspired more to continue either in a genre that you're in your walk, in your purpose of life, and your purpose of being a parent. Thank you, Monique, for coming. And before you leave, each guest I have, you guys can't see it because we didn't get the webcam up this time, but I have a jar here with these rocks, okay? I call them 3E's rocks. I know you've probably seen them around in the dollar store in a gas station or something, but no, they're 3E's rocks, okay? These are rocks. These are my inspiration rocks, and I'm asking every guest that comes in here to close their eyes and focus just for a second on nothing. Nothing except for saying that I want more. And then when you dig your hand into the jar and wiggle it around and pull out a rock, that's what you focus on getting more of. Okay?
Okay.
Are you down to
do
it?
I'm game. Just one, huh?
You got a big jar full of rocks with different words. Let's see what she gets.
What'd you get?
I want more
gold. What?
Gold.
I can't take any more gold. Let's talk about that real quick before
okay.
you leave, though. Let's think about this, okay?
Mm.
So when you see this more goals, all right, what about setting goals outside of, right, work,
mm-hmm.
right, but more for self, for more happiness, like different things like that, thinking
okay,
bigger
okay, I can look
whatever.
In those kinds of
you
things.
You know, yeah.
I can
like
do that. I can look for more peace and more
peace. Yeah, yeah. Set more goals in other areas where you feel like you need to build more, because only you know you. Nobody else knows you.
Absolutely.
Only we know ourselves.
God, that's
and
it.
That's right, and God. And so you can start to really think about that, and that's a good one. Shoot, I wish I would have got goals. I got dreams. I was like, my head, I don't need any more dreams. I'm already all over the place, so I need to figure out what that means.
I need to fine tune them.
When you leave, there we go. Mm-hmm. When you leave here, I'd like for you to just focus on a rock when you get home and some time. Keep it with you. Maybe keep it in your purse. Keep it in a place you'll see it every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just start thinking, making a list of things that, you know, you would like to do more of. Don't think about what keeps you from doing them, right? But just write them down. And as you write them down, look them over and then begin just to set little SMART goals for it. You don't got to, like, do it right away. Mm-hmm. It can happen over the course of years, 5 years. And create a plan for the one that sticks out the most to you, that you feel like, this is what I need more of. I want to focus on getting to the most and make a plan around doing that.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much for coming. I love you. I'm so grateful to have you here. And I hope that I can have you back again when we do our relationship series and our girls thing. You know, I got a couple of things in store for us. So I'm sure you're going to come back and talk about it. And we could talk about the Soul Sisters next. Because Monique is doing so many things, but I wanted to really focus on the parent stuff today and letting the audience get to know you, because some of the guests I have, I definitely will be bringing them back. So thank you again. And thank you guys for listening to The Unabbreviated Truth, my very first show. It's only going to get better. And eventually.
Sounded great.
Thank you very much. Everyone have a wonderful day. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye. How was it? Thank you again for tuning into The Unabbreviated Truth with me, Lakia K. Hill. And remember, empower, encourage, embrace. 3 E's, it's a lifestyle. Live your life, live your best life, and do great things. To find me on Twitter, please find me at Lakia Hill, LekiaHill.
We love seeing businesses that grow with the latest technology. The key is finding the right people to implement it. Hi folks, Matt Major, founder and CEO of Venture Technica here. As a business owner, it's incredibly challenging to find the right person, company, or contractor to complete your technology project, whether it's basic tech support, website design, custom apps, databases, servers, everything in between. Usually we find the business owners end up with the company who had the best salesman, not necessarily the company that's the best fit for them. That's where I come in. The Venture Technica Technology Advisor Service is designed to help growing companies get the tech your company needs. We can help you cut costs and increase efficiency by using the right technology. Contact us today at 315-400-2070 or visit VentureTechnica.com for more details.